You know, I just want to say, as I was reading the bulletin, it's quite interesting that there are so many people that need prayers. There are so many people that are hurting and sick. There are people that are on death's bed. And it never ceases to amaze me every time that I'm asking the Lord, what is the message? What is the message for Bay Roberts? What is the message for Lethbridge or wherever it is? And that it always seems to follow the theme of what is requested on that particular Sabbath, because God knows the needs of His people. And today, I want to talk to you about, is God your rock? Is God our rock? Because the Scriptures often talk about God being our rock, being our cornerstone, but what does that actually mean? Is that just a fun phrase, or is it a deeply hopeful and beautiful picture? And what can change in our lives when we focus on making God our rock? Let's pray. Father, as we open your word now, we ask that you would lead us and guide us into your truth, that you would give us the understanding and the hope that it portrays. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to deceive. We just want to be with you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 3. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit which you were dug. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. There are many encouraging passages in Scripture on God as a cornerstone and a rock. But one has stood out to me above all others, stopping me in my tracks of pain and calling me to hope. It speaks to the deepest longings in our hearts, the restoration of not just all that has been lost in our personal lives, but all that has been lost in the world since Adam and Eve first sinned in the Garden of Eden. So I want to share a few things with you this morning about what this text is saying to me. And I pray that it will give you the hope and the blessing that it has given to me. First of all, He is the source. The prophet Isaiah tells his listeners in verse 1 to look to the rock from which you were cut. And this rock, who is our foundation, our cornerstone that bears the weight under us, is also our source. He is the quarry from which we were dug, the author and finisher of our faith. And He comforts Zion, renewing her like Eden, making her desert places a garden of the Lord. Also, in addition to He is our source, the rock restores us. The rock restores us. Zion renewed. Eden restored. At the deepest level in our souls, this is what we long for. We long for all the wrongs to be made right. For sickness and death to end. For harmony and peace to reign in both nature and our personal relationships. And as we daily carry our weights of responsibilities in our homes and in our community and in our churches, we long for Eden. But God promises, He promises that we are marching forward toward a land restored like Eden. We struggle now because we are longing for this home. We were longing for this home right now, but that home right now is approaching. It's approaching. And the prophet Isaiah exhorted us to look to the rock from which we were cut. Also says in Isaiah 25, verse 8, He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the rock not only restores us, the rock protects us. Death and decay stalk us all. Our own bodies break down daily. Many have parents or other loved ones on death's door or already over the threshold. But 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 to 58, the Apostle Paul wants us to know that Isaiah's prophecy has been fulfilled through Christ. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, my beloved brethren, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you see, when Jesus paid for our sins, when He paid for our sins and He rose from the dead, He robbed death of its power over us. Hebrews 2:14 says that through Christ's death, He destroyed the one who held the power of death. That is the devil. Death no longer has the last word over any of us. Considering death's emasculation, Paul exhorted believers in 1 Corinthians 15 to be steadfast and immovable in the work of the Lord, because their labor wouldn't be in vain. Death can no longer destroy us or our legacy. So keep your hand to the plow. Keep your hand to the plow in the work that God has given you. Too many of us give up. Too many of us give up. But keep your hand to the plow in the work that God has given you, steadfast, immovable. Do you know what is steadfast and immovable? It's a rock. Jesus is the rock. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. We are told in Isaiah 51, verse 1. verses 1. And then, of course, we don't want to be, but the rock changes us. The rock changes us. Despite the death and decay that threaten to destroy us, we can be steadfast and immovable in the work of Christ because we are rocks too. Dug from the quarry of the rock of Israel himself. He is the cornerstone or keystone, the rock that we are founded on, and the rock positioned to bear the brunt of the weight on us. We are cut from the same pit of rock as him because he bears. Hear me, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Because he bears the center of the weight. We who are built on him, made from him, in union with him, have the necessary foundation to bear up under responsibilities that would crush us without him. The weights you bear would crush you without God, your rock. Without the keystone bearing the brunt of the weight and holding the ark that is your life together. The death of loved ones, dire medical diagnosis, financial stress, betrayal of a friend, these would all ruin us without the rock of Israel shepherding us through it. These things knock us off our base into a pit without a foothold. But we were made from a bigger, firmer rock. And he will lift us back up. What threatens to destroy us or our loved ones won't actually destroy us. The years the locusts have eaten will be restored, like we are told in Joel 2:25. Our wilderness will be made like Eden. Our desert will become a garden. I remember some years ago, I was visiting a church, and I was there, going to be there for a while, and I was talking about giving everything to God. And after the service, this dear sister came to me, and she said, Pastor, I've been praying for my family for years, but there is no change. What can I do? And I said to her, I said, Sister, I said, would it be okay to drop by tomorrow and visit with you? And maybe we can figure out together what is happening or what is not happening and why. And she says, I would love that. So I went and visited with this elderly sister at the time, and we chatted for a while. She was sharing the information with me about her family and about what was going on and how all of them appeared to be lost. And then I said to her, I said, let's get down and pray. And we did. And we got up off our knees. And she started to talk about the deficiencies in her family again. And I said to her, I said, Sister, I know what the problem is. She said, you do? Can it help us? I said, it sure can. She said, what is it? I said, you got down on your knees. You prayed to God and you gave it to him. While you were coming back up, you took it all back again. And that's what we do. That's what we do because we don't allow God to be the rock that He wants to be for us. And I remember quite vividly, my mother passed away 3 years ago in April. And my oldest brother, who was of a different faith, my mother was in the hospital on. We knew that her time was short. And he calls me. He says, "Dave." "Yes." "Have you talked to Mom about where she thinks she's going?" I said, "No." He said, "Don't you think you should?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you should." He said, "You're the pastor in the family." I said, "Hold on, don't give me that. Don't give me that." I said, "My Bible tells me we're all a part of the royal priesthood, so maybe you should come up and go ask her." And he said, "No." He said, "I can't do that." And I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Because you're the pastor." So we were at the hospital. Most of the family, except for that brother, he was still over. He lives in Cornerbrook. So we were at the hospital, all of us, and they announced that visiting hours were over, and we left, and we were walking down the corridor, and my mind was not at ease. So I turned around, and my mother was in the late stages of Alzheimer's, and I wasn't sure if she was even going to notice that I was there. So I walk in, and she's still laying on her bed, and I walked in, and she looked at me, and she said, "You were just here, weren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I was. What do you want?" And I said, "Mom, where are you with the Lord?" And she just... I said, "Mom, did you hear me? Where are you with the Lord?" And still nothing. So then I said it one more time, and I said, "Mom, where are you with the Lord?" And she looked at me, and she says, "I don't know." And I said, "What do you mean you don't know?" I said, "Is it because of your age and that you have not surrendered to Him, that you're not sure that He would hear you and that He would save you?" And she said, "I guess it is." So I said to her, I said, "Let me tell you about the Jesus I know, about His love." And it took an all of 2 minutes. Because we could take eternity and talk about God's love. And when it was over, she looked at me and she says, "Dave, I understand. I'm okay. I'm okay." And in a couple of hours, she slipped into a coma. But you see, she died seeing the love of God. He's placed in her hands, or she's placed in His hands, I should say. God knows. I trust Him because He's my rock, and I want to tell you that there is hope in Christ. Death has lost its long-term power. And I believe that I'm going to be seeing my mother very soon. And she passed away one day before her 91st birthday. But I believe that death has lost its power and God is going to restore the desert places with gardens like Eden. Listen, brothers and sisters. We have a hard work to do today. We do. It's not easy telling somebody about the love of God who don't know what love is about other than getting. We have a hard work today. But let me tell you something. there is a rock holding you and I up that will keep us from falling. So we need to look to the rock from which we were cut. For he is our cornerstone, who bears the weight of these last days for us. He is the only answer. He is the solid answer. He is the rock. And you and I, as we sing this last song now, we need to remember that we need to be filled. We need to ask the Lord to fill us up with his Spirit, the Spirit of courage, and above all, the Spirit of love, that we may share him and only him and his eternal love, and that he is coming soon to take us home. God bless each and every one of you. And may you, if you have not accepted him, may you choose to do it right now. You will not regret it. And remember this, he's coming soon in the clouds of glory. And he's coming to take us all home who have called on his name and accepted him as our rock, as our Savior, Jesus Christ.